Welcome to Hello Chaos, the weekly podcast exploring the messy and chaotic lives and minds of founders, innovators, dreamers, doers, entrepreneurs, all of the above. We have a fantastic guest today, Ms. Rebecca Thomas. Rebecca is more than a life coach. She's a weaver of self-trust and authenticity, empowerer of strong babes, and co-founder of Kaleidoscope Effect. Welcome, Rebecca. Welcome to Hello Chaos.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited you're here. And I was just saying, I'm like, oh, my lips are super red today. I was like, we're getting ready for Christmas. I got to go to a holiday party. And I have green, like I am very Christmassy today. So
There
we go. Well, start us out. Just tell us about your founder journey. How did you come about starting and founding Kaleidoscope Effect? Tell us the story.
Yeah, there's a few different, I'm like, where do you even start the founder journey? Because I feel like my whole life led me up to this point. Oh, I think probably the best place to go back to is, so first and foremost, I am a life coach for women, 30 to 50 something women. And what really got me into that was I had a really interesting upbringing and was in survival mode for a long time and just living day to day, trying to not thinking about my future, not some big grand plan. I did like a year and a half in college, but didn't really like go to college, get the degree. I failed forward in a lot of things. Really failed forward. And so eventually I joke about the fact that for 10 years, I was kind of demanding from the universe, like, what is the thing? What is my purpose? Like, I'm here for a reason. I know that after getting to a point where I felt like I could start to think about that, I really just started to question everything. Like, what am I here to do? Why do I want to do what I want to do? What are my gifts? What are my superpowers? And so during that journey, I was working from home at the time as a single mom. I was salary. I was completely remote and wanted to supplement my income. Ended up in email marketing. And then while I was doing that to supplement my income, I ended up doing a little research and I stumbled on Airbnb. So Airbnb is actually the thing that got me into life coaching, which is
really
most people don't expect. They're like, oh, how'd you get into this?
And
Airbnb. And they're like, wait, what? So the reason that got me into life coaching was because I was actually hosting people in my home. So I had room in my house where people stayed with us. The rest of the house was a shared space, like the living room, the kitchen, the deck, all of those things. And so I got to connect with a lot of really amazing people, but they were all complete strangers. And so it was in doing that and starting to really like let go and trying to control what I was supposed to do and just really letting like what felt right show up and doing some personal development at the same time. And so with all of that, I discovered that I was amazing at connecting with these complete strangers in my home, and I was able to hold space for them and was able to listen and validate, but at the same time, like challenge their perspective.
Yeah.
I've always been in leadership positions. I'm the oldest of seven. I have five younger sisters. And
wow.
So like a lot of that big sister energy came through too, where it was like, okay, I can see the BS that's kind of coming through in what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And I can also understand why you're telling yourself that. And could you look at it differently?
Right.
So that was the thing that really spurred me into life coaching. And then with Kaleidoscope Effect, so that's my women's event company. We curate our own women's events here in the Grand Rapids area. But that's like the community extension of what I do as a life coach. So it's a very embracive, inclusive space. It's not strictly personal. It's not strictly professional. It weaves all of those pieces together because we are all of those pieces.
Right.
It gives women a space to really put themselves front and center and celebrate the things that they've accomplished over the course of a year. So yeah, that's how everything kind of started. Short version you'll probably ever get out of me. And
that's fascinating. So are you finding that the people that you coach or that really gravitate to also going through the journey of finding their purpose, finding, you know, that self-discovery, are you finding that it's more other women founders, or is it like the spectrum of women in all like life stages?
It's definitely a spectrum. I mostly coach like 30 to 50 something. I definitely focus on women that feel like they can resonate with the term midlife crisis. And I think that we're hitting that early and earlier just for a couple different reasons, like all of the reasons that our hormones are shifting, whether it's because of the things that are in our food or our, the materials that we build our spaces with or all kinds of things there. But then also like the bombardment of information and the access to information. So I feel like that's triggering a lot of like understanding things sooner or being aware of things sooner. So I definitely feel like it's a spectrum. It's not isolated to entrepreneurs or it's all over the board.
Because it's just... Yeah, because it's interesting. Like, the reason I say that is just, you're right. It's like the information that I've uncovered over the last 5 years, I wish I would have had 20 years ago. But a lot of that stuff was forcing me. Like, I always say, and I'm in my, you know, I'm 52, but I feel like I was having a coming of age at 40, you know, at 48, 49. And really at 50, I kind of trying, like, you know, I feel like I knew my purpose, but really I was, and I knew myself. I've been under every, I think, you know, personality type, you know, in corporate world.
Yeah.
How many times have you been with the Myers-Briggs, the PI? Like, you know, you've been personality indexed to death.
Yeah.
And so I knew all of that, but it's like, how do I take that and help really empower my own business, but also step into my leadership of, I was running a business, but I'm in the tasks as a business owner. And how do I, you know, really step into more of that leadership role, more from an external perspective? And that's where I feel like, well, gosh, like, I feel like this is my coming of age. Like, why wasn't I not on this path at 30?
As if there's like this designated time we're supposed to
hit. Yeah. Yeah. And I talked to so many other like women founders, but also not just, I shouldn't even say women. I've talked to so many other founders that are, you know, in their 40s, going in their 50s or their 60s, and they're doing the same thing. They're like, you know, but it was the pressure of starting the business, growing the business, scaling and at those different milestones and having to reshape who they were. And, you know, that's what it's like. I hear that all the time on the podcast of, it's like their coming of age story at 55 or at 65 or at 45. But it was being a founder that kind of sparked that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but was it? Because why did they become a founder?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because that's what I see more of is women that it's like, you know, we hear the term midlife crisis and we think of like everything's falling apart. But to me, I'm like, everything's coming together. Brene Brown has a quote that talks unraveling versus midlife crisis, which I literally have plastered on my website because it talks about like the armor that we're still carrying, the coping mechanisms that we're still using to manage our lives that are not working for us. It's talking about like not living our lives fully and like you're running out of time. So what are you doing? And
right.
So I feel like when we get to that place of unraveling, that's where we really start. Like we have a better understanding of who we are, but we don't really know how that not fits into the world, but how it makes us belong. And so when we can start to get curious about those things and putting them together and exploring what that means for ourselves, like women want purpose. Women want to feel valued. They want to bring value. And so all of those things are signs pointing us in the direction of like, you can do this amazing thing and be valuable to yourself and to the world. And but it's going to take you down this other path. And
right.
I think like get to the point where we are realizing like the days are getting shorter. So it's now or never. Like, what do we have to lose at that point?
Right. Well, I think it's the, you know, it's that law of attraction, which is, you know, that plays into the law of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, and it's so funny that you said belonging. We've got, we had another founder on here, I don't know, it was like a few months ago.
Huh?
And that's her whole thing is like, she works for an organization that is, and her role is, she's the director of belonging.
I'm like, can I connect with her? Like, who
else? Like, you know, and she, you know, she's a founder, does some other things for like women empowerment. But then she, you know, this is has connected with an organization that's the Courage for Purpose and Renewal.
Mm.
And they talk a lot of, like, you've got to really know who you are and really find, like, you have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And it's like, how do you make that connect? How do you feel like you belong?
Yeah.
But you got to know yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to go through that discovery.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, what is the process like? Okay, you would just have strangers in your home.
Still
Airbnb. And then you need a life coach. Like,
No, absolutely. No, it's more about listening. I think the thing that's so fascinating to me, and there's a whole story behind like what shaped that part of me as far as being able to listen. I didn't used to have that, and I didn't used to be that. It took an incredible loss in my life to realize how instrumental that was in my own growth and my journey of self-love, acceptance. And when that was taken away from me, I had to become it in order to have it, because nobody else in my life filled that role. So in order to get it again, I had to become it. And it happened in the midst of my Airbnb journey. And so it's way more about, I don't have an agenda. My only agenda is to be a mirror to you, like who you are. You don't need to react to who I think I should be. You don't have to worry about what I think you should do. Like, that's where most of us get tripped up. But it's really just holding space, which is a lot of active listening, and then reflecting back the things that I hear and then letting them sit with those things. And it always, the number of people, first of all, when I'm sitting with them and listening, I can tell if you have somebody else in your life that you can talk to in that way, by like the pace of what you share, the tone of your voice, the pauses engaging whether or not I'm going to interject, like all of those like micro moments, which seem so insignificant. But because that space is just there and I'm just holding it for them, eventually through those conversations, they start to really start to shine and come out. They realize like she doesn't have an idea. Like, it's not about what I think you should or shouldn't do. We're judging.
Right. There's no judgment.
Yeah. Right. And so that's the most important part of it. And then the other piece is the number of people who say afterwards, like, I just needed to say that out loud. Like, don't have the person that can just sit with them and hold that space for them where they can say it out loud. Because I would say at least 50% of the time, that's the magic, that
right.
Like being able to say out loud and not have it thrown back in our face or feel crappy about it, whether it's guilt or shame or whatever it is, but being able to say it out loud and
just the courage. Sometimes it's just having the,
yes,
this thought is actually a real thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I say it out loud, it becomes real, right? You know?
So yeah, it was just a lot of that. It's not, you need my information's here. My information is in the room. Like, but outside of that, like, I'm just Rebecca. That's who I am regardless. So
yeah.
Am I a coach innately? Absolutely. But I'm not here to like, you need a life coach. Like,
right.
I believe in autonomy and the ability to find the things that you need. So if I'm trying to force what I'm doing down your throat, like, I'm completely compromising exactly what I stand for.
What was the big breakthrough moment where you were like, this is my purpose?
Just hearing the term. Like, I was listening to a podcast at the same time that I was hosting people. It's Earn Your Happy by Lori Harder. And it's her birthday today, too. So this is so
cool. Well, shout out.
Thank you, Lori. But I was listening to her podcast, and she had so many, like, first of all, I could resonate with her for so many reasons. She's from Michigan. I'm from Michigan. No formal education. Super restrictive religious upbringing, like all these different pieces that really helped. But she was just so real, and she was funny, and she asked the questions that I feel like so often we tell ourselves are stupid questions, but they're not. You say them out loud, everybody's like, huh, now that you said that out loud,
right?
That's a great question. So was listening to that podcast, and she interviewed so many amazing people on that podcast, and it just led me down one trail after another and bridged all these pieces together. And at one point she said had a life coach on her podcast, and I heard the term and I was like, that's it. Like, literally just you. That's it. That's the purpose. 1000% hands down. And at the time I was still doing email marketing and still like being a single mom. I'm financially in all the ways responsible for my son, like really struggled with how do I do this? I don't know.
Right.
Also, like I said, fail forward kind of person. And so I really struggled with it for 6 months, like walking away from the security.
Yeah.
Of that, you know, safe position that I was working. And finally, my body just got so pissed at me. My body was like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You're not doing it. So here's some physical pain to maybe move you along and tell you. And so
right. One
day I booked a meeting with my boss, and I was like, I've got to go. I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm going to figure it out. And so thanks so much, but it's time to move on. And a week and a half later, I was done at that job and I was in the midst of two classes and trying to figure out like what my next steps were. And just, I always say, like, jumped off the cliff and built my wings on the way down.
You did it.
Any of
it. Who was the first client? Like, what was the, how did you secure that? Like, when you were like, okay, this is it. I'm doing it. Now I've got to generate, so, you know, I got to monetize it, which is the scary part of like, okay, I know what value I bring. I know that, but it's like who to then have that trust that someone put on you to go, okay, I'm ready to spend money with you.
Yeah. As far as the first client, honestly, like I couldn't tell you who it was because that year was such a flurry and a combination of like I'd never networked before. So it was putting myself out there in a new way, exploring what that felt like, making connections. There were absolute real opportunities that happened during that year. Some of them were coaching, some of them were consulting, which was like, wait, what is what I can consult? Wait, what?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of those kinds of things and very aligned things, just some really beautiful things. I think the thing, like one of the most impactful things that happened that first year for all of it, clientele, coaching, exposure, long-term interpersonal relationships, is I was talking to my business banker at the time, Sean Cash, who was absolutely amazing and works for a national HR company, Insperity. And
well, we know Insperity. We're good friends with. They're amazing.
He's a newer employee and just raves about it. But he was working for PNC at the time.
Okay.
And a local women in business networking event. And when they did that event, it was when I was like jumping off the cliff and building my wings. And so I had a lot of just really vulnerable conversations with him and just amazing conversation. And so he invited me to be a part of the event where they were featuring four up and coming entrepreneurs in the Grand Rapids area. And it was like 2.5 weeks before the event when he invited me to be a part of it. I had no website, no printed materials, never done a presentation, like none of the things. And I said, yes.
You're like, all right, doing it.
So I nailed it. And then because of that, they continued to invite me back every year. And now it's just like the ripple effect of saying yes to that big, scary thing, not knowing what, like, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Just trusting myself. And it just nailed it. And it's been a whole beautiful journey since then.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it? How the universe tells you.
Yeah. Like, don't tell ourselves that there's a billion magical ways something can come together versus the two really controlled ways we think it's supposed to
look. Right. Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was like, can't remember. It was a celebrity and I don't remember who it was. They were on Oprah's show, you know, and they were talking about, because you brought this up of like, he was like, I knew when I needed, when I was content,
mm-hmm.
that I was playing it safe, that I wasn't taking the right curve. He's like, my body, like, because my mind was going, I got to go to the next level. But he was like, this is too safe. This is good. He was like, I would get physical. He goes, there were physical signs of like your body starts rejecting all around you. He was like, and then as soon as you take that leap and he was like, then you start growing. It's like all those, you know,
it
aligns really well. And he was just saying, you pay attention to those things. Like if your body will tell you, like you're not in the right space.
Yeah. And because we're so disconnected from our bodies, but we're also trying to convince ourselves, our mind,
right?
Convince ourselves like, no. We know what to expect here. Let's just stay.
But he was like, your body will start telling you all sorts. And he goes, when your body is turning on you, then something is not aligning. It was just that, like when you said you were physically, you knew like it was a physical,
visceral. I don't like pain. So like, but the other thing that I think that's really tricky with that too, is I was reading something, I don't know, last year, who knows where. And it was talking about like how often we equate pain with negative.
Mm.
And it was talking about like, if you think about it, like if we hurt ourselves, if we, you know, ended up ripping our skin open on something, say you drug your arm against a nail on accident, and then you need to put something on it, whether it's peroxide or whatever, there's a certain pain that's associated with that, but it's not a damaging pain, it's a healing pain. And so we think about that in terms of living our lives because, being uncomfortable doesn't always feel good, but it's a different kind of pain. So really being able to recognize and differentiate between like, what is a pain that's telling you that you're stuck and you shouldn't be here versus like, okay, this is really uncomfortable, but you know you need to do it.
Right, right. So other than like those kind of signs, are there things that you would say, questions that we should all be asking or recognizing in ourselves to go, there's something else out there. You have to like find your, if you're struggling with finding your purpose or understanding what your gifts and your superpowers are, like, are there things that we like rituals or best practices or something just to like start that movement?
Yeah. I think a couple big things is taking time to be quiet and present with yourself, whether that's in your house. I'm a big believer in like the healing and what magnification of nature, just being outside. It just feels like it clears some things out, but also inspires creativity at the same time. So I would say like definitely getting quiet and really asking yourself, like being curious and open, but not with some idea or a judgment, like a lens of judgment about what it should or shouldn't be. What do I love? Like looking for the things in your life that have lit you up or the things that have brought you purpose, a sense of purpose, not where you were able to do something for somebody else, but like what really felt like you were giving value. So really asking yourself that.
That's a difference. You're right. A lot of times we bundle that.
Yeah. And there's another tricky one. A lesson I learned earlier this year is there's also a difference between being appreciated and valued. Like being appreciated is somebody acknowledging that you have value, but not necessarily putting anything into that. But when you are actually valued, there's some kind of exchange, whether it's mentorship or verbal or, you know, financial investment or something. But there's a difference between valued and appreciated. But going back to that other piece, definitely being open and curious with yourself, trying to look for things in your life where you have felt like you were bringing value to the table or were told you were bringing value to the table, and seeing like what common threads are there.
Yeah.
Can help you find this little cookie crumb trail that you follow. But I think another thing is just paying attention to what brings you joy. And to me, joy and happiness are different. Happiness is a little higher energy, a little more exciting, whereas joy is almost this like combination of awe and appreciation and acceptance at the same time. It's like this elated contentment to me. And so paying attention to the things in your life that actually bring you joy, because the hints might be there too, I would assume.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the case for everybody, but for most people, I think if you are living your purpose and you find your purpose, that joy is there.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're here to do. That's your superpower. That's your magical abilities. Yeah.
So what do you think, you know, when you boil down like your superpower, obviously you're a life coach and stuff. So if you had to like, you know, boil down the essence, what is yours?
I mean, I have so many. I know my purpose specifically is to bring people together and bridge understanding. But the other ones, like one of my huge superpowers is radical acceptance. So not judging or shooting what is happening in the moment, but accepting it for what it is and then identifying it to be and whether or not I can change that. So radical acceptance is a big one. My ability to listen and mirror is a big one, to read between the lines. And a lot of that, like the reading between the lines, I was just writing something about this the other day, where a lot of that came from being the oldest sibling. A lot of that comes from my own hyper awareness. A lot of that comes from the almost 20 years I spent in the hospitality industry. Because what do you do in all of those things? You identify the social cues, the physical cues, the verbal language, all of the things. You get in front of what people are actually saying to anticipate what they're going to do. So that's something I'm able to harness and use in my coaching too. So those are definitely some of the top ones. But going back to my intro too, like the weaving of self-trust, I am able to contagiously share my confidence and self-trust because I embody so much. So taking away that reaction piece, but allowing there to be space for both of us at the same time.
Amazing. Now, did you uncover that all yourself, or did you have a life coach that kind of helped you articulate that?
Yeah, no, I think... So I have had a life/business coach that I used, especially in the first couple of years of building my business. She wasn't your traditional business coach at all. I don't do very many things traditionally. So she was a really beautiful fit for me, but she definitely helped me, I think, start to uncover a lot of that. But a lot of it has been
just really sitting with myself. I've never been afraid to sit with myself and listen to myself and think things through. So between that and my thirst for curiosity and information, those are the things that have helped give me the language. Listening to so many other influencers internationally who talk about different aspects of just who you are as a person, very holistically, personal, professional, spiritual, everything in between. So it's definitely listening to so many different sources. Yeah. And then really taking what resonates with me and then sharing it with the people around me.
Well, that's amazing. So in your founder journey, what do you think has been your biggest challenge or kind of your shit moment of like, what have I done? I've left my security. I've jumped into this. The universe is all telling me I'm in the right direction, but you still get those moments.
For sure. And I can think of a couple. I was laughing because there was one earlier this year and I was like, oh, isn't that cute?
That's right.
Definitely the first one was when I realized I was supposed to be coaching. And it's interesting because I think the hardest part during that season was not so much knowing what I needed to do and doing it, but sharing that with people that were close to me who wanted to shoot it down because it didn't make them comfortable.
So it happens to a lot of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so grateful for the connections I made that first year because it gave me the support I needed of people that understood and could help me kind of shore up where that was happening in my personal life. But friends and family, that fell forward. Like I am super comfortable being uncomfortable, and I don't ignoring my boundaries and red flags. I mean, just like, I don't have to know. I don't need to know. I have so much trust for myself, the universe, the process, all the things. And so that was the biggest thing, was just really taking that leap and then figuring out what to do with all the plates of everybody else's opinions about how this was going to go or right. Should.
Right.
Be like, that's not my plate. I think that was a big one. But then the other big one this year is there was a whole chain of events that happened this year from March to September-ish. I'd been plateauing in my business for probably about a year and a half. And again, was like the universe, like, what is this? Right.
Right.
Also, at the same time in this season of my life, have gotten to a point where I can be open and curious. So I was, and I was looking for and actively, humbly looking for the answers as well. And I was going to go to this amazing local event, but something was telling me I needed to be someplace else or be available to be someplace else. So I didn't go, ended up signing for this masterclass online, skipped it the first 2.5 days, got on the second half of the third day, and it blew my mind. And I was like, holy crap, that's the thing. That's it. That's it. And so after I realized that and was called, and I mean, there were hundreds, at least, it might have been thousands of people on this call. But after the information was shared and I felt so called out and seen, I was like, okay, now that we know, like, you opened yourself to the answer. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? Take it and run. So that was definitely another moment for that, too.
See, you got to listen to yourself. Got to listen.
Right.
So now I'm curious, it's a question I usually ask people, but because you know yourself so well and know like your strength. In this journey that you've done, you know, starting the business and kind of growing and scaling it, have you been surprised about something that you've learned about yourself?
Always.
Okay.
I mean, yes, and, but not surprised in a way, like it doesn't knock me on my butt very often.
Right.
So not surprised in that way, I think. A couple of different things. Like, we all talk about how there's so many layers to things.
Yeah.
I don't think we really understand that until we start to build that real deep self-awareness of ourselves. So I think so often we can trick ourselves into thinking that once we learn the lesson, it's just going to go away, but it shows up in different layers. So like the lesson might originally be in like an interpersonal romantic relationship might be the same lesson that you learned in your employment a year and a half later or 5 years later, where it's that same common thread, whatever that lesson is, but we're learning it in different ways. And
that's
so
right.
I think sometimes that it takes experiencing that similar lesson to realize exactly what's underneath it as far as like the wound or the need or the belief or whatever that is, in order to really let it go, but then also truly understand what you need in order to heal it, basically.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm always experiencing in different ways. But also, I would say the last year and a half, has been a huge surprise to me in that I'm 46. Like we were talking about our age, I'm 46. I am so in love with who I am. I am so in love with my life. But also experiencing like what I'm really naturally good at when I allow myself to just have fun and play. So like this summer, I carried bubble guns all over with me and was riding scooters and went to slip and slide events. And so just really giving myself permission to explore what's fun for me.
Right.
Decide how much I do or don't want to do that thing, but just finding new ways to experience joy and then also connect with new amazing friends and curate amazing friendships too. So I think those are the pleasant surprises that I really enjoy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, that totally speaks to me.
Love it.
Like I said, my little coming of age of things that I wish I'd have done 20 years ago. Okay. So you've had, business coach, life coach, whatever, and explored. What's the best advice that you've received that you're like, everybody needs to hear this?
Okay. So there's one thing in particular that sticks out, and it was an article that was written in Psychology Today. One of the educators that I follow was Gábor Máté, who is a Hungarian-born physician. And he talks about how any kind of trauma manifests as disease. And so he was interviewed for an article last year. And if there was one article that every woman should read, I feel like this is the one. And it talks about how 80% of women are being diagnosed with autoimmune disease. And his theory is it's because we're repressing our emotions. So when I look at the work that I do, when I look at the work that I've done, like one of the things I've really been able to do is feel all of my emotions and allow space for other people to feel theirs too, but really to understand them. And so the work that he does, but just that article speaks so much to the danger of not allowing those feelings to come through, labeling them right, wrong, good, bad, and how much damage that does to us internally when we don't express them. And when you combine like his work with Brené Brown's, with Mastin, like there's so many different.
Yeah, it all weaves together. Yeah. Absolutely.
We've made ourselves overly responsible for how other people feel while simultaneously ignoring how we feel. So getting to a place where we can not only better understand what that feeling is and the information it's trying to give to us, but then allowing that exchange between both of us is the thing that's really going to help us grow as a humankind.
Right. Well, ingest it. I mean, it all kind of affects.
Because then floating is better.
Right. I mean, it's no different of like, hey, I can sense something is not right, or that uncomfortableness or discomfort of, I should be doing this. It's the same thing of like, I'm not being my authentic self.
Yeah.
I'm creating a face, or a facade.
Yeah.
And that does affect our physicalness. I mean, my aunt was in healthcare for a really long time. I mean, she's passed. I mean, it's been 20 years since she's passed. But she was closeted lesbian, she knew when she was
a part of her,
a part of herself. She, of course, Midwest Methodist, very religious family. She was at, middle school, sent to, conversion camps, high school, you're wrong, and she was diagnosed with cancer at 30 and battled it for 30 years. She finally came out, when she was, 45, 50,
mm-hmm.
And she ended up dying at 60, but she said, she was like, I got cancer. I got sick because of repression. She was like, when you cannot be yourself.
Yeah.
She was like, whether I'm here for another year or 20 years, she was like, I need to live for myself. So I'm a huge believer in, the physical connections how that can manifest into not so fun things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we have to deal with. That's a great. Well, we'll have to pin that article.
Yeah.
So if we could celebrate, like if we met a year from now,
mm-hmm.
What would we be celebrating?
Man, I mean, a couple things, like more international, fabulous friendships for one. I love putting myself in other spaces, so I just continue to explore that and love connecting with new people and weaving people together and just the connection and the understanding and the culture perspectives and all the things that come with that. So that for one. And then the other big thing would be the fabulous success of my Radiance and Resilience community pilot program that I...
Well, talk to us about that. What's going on there?
So I have been using a program that one of my friends put together for some of my like brand blueprint and client avatar and like all the things for business. And while I was doing that, we were redoing my sales page. And as I was looking through, I was like, I want to add more value, more value, more value, more value. How can I add more value? How can I do that in a way that's sustainable, still authentic to who I am, isn't going to like leak my time and energy in doing that. And so as I was thinking through it and then combining that with like my own passion, but yearning for more micro community,
yeah,
decided I wanted to do a community program. So I'm testing that out. I have a pilot program. It's launching early January, but it's open now if you want to sign up.
We'll have to check it out. We'll need to pin it and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will check it out. I need to be a part of that.
But then it's like my program, just like my coaching, it's called Radiance and Resilience. So I have this thing, my most on-brand hashtag is Soul Shine. And so I talk about the fact that Soul Shine is like that thing.
My favorite song, by the way.
Is it?
Yes. It's one of my, like, my dad and I, that was like our inspiration song. Yeah.
So I just talk about like how Soul Shine is that it's the energy that comes through, the light that comes through when you're just so full of joy and you're living your purpose. And that's something I get complimented on a lot. But that's literally what I teach other women. Like, it's how I coach you. That's what we do. That's what we figure out. It's living a life on purpose with purpose. And so this pilot program is going to be my test for what that's going to look like for my year-long coaching clients. Eventually, it might turn into something else too, like a membership or something. But this is just a really beautiful way to bring 10 women together and really do some amazing work and hit the ground running in 2025 and see what we can light up. So I would say we would be not only celebrating the success of the program, but also the transformations that happen for those 10 women on the other side of that a year later.
Ah. Okay, we're going to make a date.
Love
it.
Set
a date. We'll schedule that.
Yeah.
All right. And then question, which I ask every founder, and I love this question, but if you had to sum up your journey in just one word, what would that word be and why?
I mean, literally soul shine.
What a great.
It's interesting because like also my program, like part of what I do is I teach people to build an internal compass that talks about their core values. And so like my core values are authenticity, curiosity, and autonomy. And autonomy, even when I was younger and was still in that survival mindset and didn't really know who I was, or at least couldn't verbalize as it and hadn't been able to like create it in my life yet, I still knew on some level.
Yeah.
And so there's always just been this level of self-assuredness, knowing who I was even when I couldn't talk about it, and just stubbornly trusting that and moving forward. And all of those things have contributed to just continuing to find my path in a really beautiful way, but also, again, being able to show others how to do that same thing. So definitely soul shine.
My goodness. We asked, you know, hundreds and hundreds of founders over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
No one has, we've never had a repeat word, which also should like, but that's such a good one. I love that one. But I love the fact that it's, you know, every time we get a different word, and it just goes to show we're all on a unique journey.
Yes.
And that speaks to us. So we're almost out of time, but where can people connect with you, find more information about the program and your coaching and Kaleidoscope Effect and all of that?
Yeah. So pretty much every place you can find me is under Marie of Venus. And there's a whole story behind that.
Yeah.
My website is mariavenus.com. My Facebook is Maria Venus. LinkedIn, Instagram are all Maria Venus. If you go to my website and you're curious just about who I am, there's obviously an About Me page that I just updated with some fun things. But then if you go to my homepage, if you scroll to bottom, and once I get this from you too, it'll go there too. But like,
different podcasts I can get, I've been on. So you can just hear like who I am and what I talk about.
I've right. got
a blog. So all of those will give you a better insight into like who I am and how I work and what I do and what I believe. So yeah. And don't hesitate to reach out, send me a message. I love connecting with people. And just, yeah, whether that's you're a future client or you're just a human reaching out or you want a new friend, like I'm here for all of it.
Yeah. Rebecca, this was wonderful. I appreciate your time and your energy and all your good advice for our listeners, but also for myself. These things go by so fast. I know we're kind of, we're getting over, but thanks for hanging out. I appreciate
yeah, thank
it.
Thank you so much. I really fun.
Yeah. And for everyone listening or watching, thank you for joining us too. Again, this podcast episode drops on Sunday, so you can find us on your favorite podcast platform. So subscribe to Hello Chaos. Give us a shout. Give us a like. Give us a review. Help us grow and build a more connected entrepreneurial community. Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That is Orange Whip, WIP, for work in progress. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs in affiliate cities. We're in 3 cities today in South Carolina, but looking to expand to other cities. Every city needs an Orange Whip. We're a one-stop content hub that is a dedicated dynamic roadmap to navigate that local entrepreneur ecosystem of all the resources in that market, curated content calendars, curated event calendars, and great unvarnished viewpoints and stories of the founders and entrepreneurs in that local market. Just an email to join our community and enjoy the experience that we have and the content that we have to share. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or sponsor us in any way, send an email to hello at Orange Whip. That's again, WIP, orangewhip.com. And we will see you again next week.